when you consider that most, if not all, of the issues that trouble us, both physically and emotionally, are either caused by or worsened by stress, then you can see why a stress relief tool like this can be so helpful in so many different areas of life, including our physical well-being, our emotional well-being, and even our behavior and our attempts to be more successful.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Brad Yates. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Brad. One, he's known internationally for his creative and often humorous use of emotional freedom techniques, EFT. And no, that's not a Bitcoin. Two, he's been a presenter at Jack Canfield's Breakthrough to Success. And I'm still working on the breakthrough. And Brad, number three, he has over 1,000 videos on YouTube that have been viewed, wait for it, over 36 million times. And, oh, here's a fourth bonus fact about Brad. He's a graduate of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey College, Clown College. Yes, he is. You can call him a clown, and he can say, that's me, I'm a graduate.
Guilty as charged.
Brad Yates, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thanks so much, George. It's great to be here with you.
Wonderful talking with you. We get a special treat. We get a clown. We get a clown as a bonus, and we also are going to learn about this EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques. What is this all about? Is this some kind of mind control?
Yeah, well, it helps us control our mind and our emotions, because so often those run away and we feel like we're at the mercy of our emotions. And that's why we have EFT, which is short for Emotional Freedom Techniques. It's a simple mind-body technique for giving us more freedom in terms of our emotions, rather than being trapped by the discomfort of fear, anger, sadness, and all these natural emotions, but that sometimes we get sucked into, and it really limits the quality of our lives.
Now, that's curious. If I'm hearing that right, you're saying that we can become captive or a slave to our emotions, and perhaps we need to be a little bit more free from some of the emotions. It's not that we make the emotions go away. We just need to be in better control. Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely. And more often than we know, there are obviously the times where we may be super angry about something going on, or devastatingly sad about something that has happened. And we just go, I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. And we definitely feel trapped by our emotions in those times. But on a more regular basis, there are opportunities for us to be happier, to be healthier, to be more successful. And we don't take advantage of those opportunities because of subtle fears and stress and all of these little emotions that we're not consciously aware of. We'd be walking and going, I'm fine, I'm fine. I don't know why I didn't make that phone call. I don't know why I didn't show up to that appointment. I don't know why I just ate that whole box of cookies. So we are controlled by our emotions far more often and in far more subtle ways than we're aware of.
And if we're controlled by these emotions, what chance do we have of taking back control?
We have a very good chance if we use tools like EFT. And we also call it tapping. And here's the part for folks who are new to this. It's going to look a little strange. We are literally tapping with our fingertips on different points around the face and torso. And I know it looks a little strange. There's a very good reason why we do it. It's based on acupuncture. So for thousands of years in Chinese medicine, they've said there's a flow of energy through the body. And when this energy is flowing naturally, we experience our natural state of health and well-being. And when this energy gets stuck, we don't feel so good. We don't think as clearly. We don't make the best choices. And that can really limit our lives in all kinds of different ways, especially when we're talking about your intended message. You may have an intention of a message, but there's another part of you going, yeah, but it's not safe. It's not okay to put your message out there. And so we're sitting there with this intended message stuck inside of us and going, well, yeah, maybe tomorrow I'll feel safe putting myself out there. Maybe tomorrow I'll make the difference that I can make. And it's not that we're bad or stupid. I like to say that self-sabotage is simply misguided self-love. When we're stopping ourselves, it's because we're trying to protect ourselves. There's that part of us that says, oh, if, you know, I want to make this difference. I want to put this message out there. But another part says, yeah, but it's not safe. You'll be criticized. You'll be judged. It'll be painful, just like it was in the third grade or whenever it was. And so we play better safe than sorry. And so what happens is that we have a stress response. So this little part of the brain called the amygdala that's looking for threats, perceives a threat and says, let's go into fight or flight. And that may be full-blown fight or flight, or maybe just a subtle little thing, but we just find ourselves going in an opposite direction and not even knowing why. It's just like, oh yeah, I was going to call that person up about that job offer. Why didn't I do that? Because there's a subtle stress response that told us it wasn't safe to do that, got us distracted. And this process downregulates stress. We have a growing body of scientific evidence for those who really, it's like, yes, we have cortisol stress. Cortisol is one of the main stress hormones. And there are double-blind studies showing that the groups doing the tapping, their cortisol levels drop by over 25% on average. We have fMRI studies now where you can see the parts of the brain that are lighting up in a stressful situation. And after the tapping, those parts of the brain aren't lighting up in the same way. So we do have a growing body of scientific evidence validating this process.
Brad, so the tapping is tapping with your finger on parts of your body, and you were just tapping on your face there in two or three places, and it's about one tap a second roughly, and while you're talking. So I'm curious, is it the tapping that on the spot, or is it a way of self-hypnotist?
There are similarities. I started out as a hypnotherapist before getting into this, after being a clown and an actor. I'm not a doctor, but I played one on TV. But there have been studies done to show that the tapping is an active part of the process. So, and you can actually tap without saying any words and you will calm down. It will downregulate your stress even without the words. Now, adding in the words and particular using affirmations, using hypnotic languaging, using cognitive behavioral therapy, there's different ways of using wording, even NLP, that can then help that process. So you're getting the benefits of the physical downregulation of stress with the tapping, along with the mindset training at the same time.
Is then the chief result of the tapping a reduction in stress?
Yes, that's the most obvious one. And so when you look at, when you consider that most, if not all of the issues that trouble us, both physically and emotionally, are either caused by or worsened by stress, then you can see why a stress relief tool like this can be so helpful in so many different areas of life, including our physical well-being, our emotional well-being, and even our behavior and our attempts to be more successful, because we then have that freedom to do things that we were afraid to do before.
All right, so let's take a look at how this works. And here I am listening and looking at you, and I'm thinking, okay, my first thought is this sounds a little weird. Yes. And so help me get past that obstacle. Help me get past that, Brad.
Yeah, absolutely, George. And I totally understand anyone who's there at that. I have introduced this to a lot of people, and sometimes people will be almost violent in their reactions. Like, this is the stupidest thing. And I'll get comments on YouTube from people, you know, saying things like that. And then I'll often get comments from people later saying, I thought this was so stupid, and now I am so grateful that I had this process. So there is that resistance. And as mentioned, I went to clown college. So when I learned this, this was not the strangest thing I'd ever done. So I had an easier time of it. But for the rest of you who didn't have the advantage of going to clown college, again, there's a lot of this growing body of scientific evidence validating it. We have people from all walks of life using it. There's video of Olympic athletes using it before their performance. I've worked with Olympic athletes, worked with lawyers, doctors, award-winning actors. So lots of people are using this. So it's not just the lunatic fringe that's using this. It's a lot of people that you look up to, people that you know, this is their secret weapon for feeling better, doing better, and living better. And again, a lot of people just say, look at acupuncture and say, oh yeah, no, I understand acupuncture. That doesn't look weird. It's just the same thing without the needles. So for a lot of people, it should be, oh, it's acupuncture, but without having to use needles. Awesome.
Bonus. Yeah. No needles.
So what we do is we take whatever is obviously bothering us. So it may be, I'm just feeling stressed out. And I can rate that at a level of 0 to 10. It's about an 8. How do I feel physically? My shoulders feel tense. I may be more clear about what I'm upset about. Like I may be really angry at Bob. You know, my friend Bob just did the stupidest thing and I'm so angry at him. So I'd rate that on a scale of 0 to 10, how angry I am. Then we take the fingertips of our index and middle finger and we gently tap on the edge of our hand right here.
The edge of the hand, as if you're going to make where you'd hit someone with a karate chop.
Exactly. So it's often called the karate chop point.
Okay.
And just a light tap. This is a self-care technique. So we don't want to be hurting ourselves.
Okay. So you don't karate chop. You're just lightly tapping. Okay.
I had a student in LA who was a karate master, and he would be hitting himself so hard. It's like, you don't have to hit that hard. So we gently tap there while we say, even though I feel this stress, or even though I'm angry at Bob, or whatever the issue might be, I choose to love and accept myself. Then we say that 3 times, and it just sort of creates an opening, saying, even though I have this problem, I'm not going to be angry at myself. I love and accept myself and have this level of acceptance, even though there's this issue. Because what happens is when we fight against issues, they stay, and we just make it worse. So just saying, it's there. I have this stress, and I love and accept myself. Then we start going through these different points right here at the beginning of your eyebrow, and we just gently tap maybe 5 to 10 times and say, all this stress, or whatever the issue is. Then right here at the corner of your eye, all this stress. Right under the middle of your eye, all this stress. Right under your nose, all this stress. Right under your lower lip, just above your chin, all this stress. And right here where your collarbones just about come together, there's a little bit of a U shape at the base of your throat. And you can use all of your fingertips or even make a fist and tap over the collarbones. All this stress. And about 4 inches below your armpit, that's right about bra strap level, and I'm sure even the guys can figure that out. All this stress. And finally, at the top of your head with all of your fingertips just in circles around the crown of your head, all this stress. And you take a deep breath. And then you check in again and say, okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, what is it now? And for some people, it'll go from an 8 to a 0 like that. Sometimes it'll go from an 8 to a 7.75. And what often happens is it's like peeling the layers of the onion. And so we'll be tapping along and saying all this stress, or in the example of Bob, all this anger at Bob, it's not even Bob, it's Cindy. When I was in third grade, she told my friend this thing and I've been angry at her since the third grade, all this anger at Cindy. And I can start clearing up something that has been at a subconscious level bothering me for decades and finally let it go. So that's one of the really cool things that happens when we're doing the tapping process.
Now, so I'm noticing, I think, two or three things going on there. So one, it's a repetitive, it's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming there's some significant to the points, although they're not, they don't have to be precise. I'm guessing it's, you know, like, so if you're topping the top of the head, there, you know, it doesn't have to be any specific point. So I guess there's, I don't know, a large field of affecting that, but there's the pattern of the tapping. Now I'm curious, is that rhythmic tapping, does that also tend to calm our breathing?
It absolutely can. That having that rhythm is having our using that rhythm to calm our breathing, to calm us down, is an additional benefit. So, you know, and we're still doing research to find out the exact mechanism of how this works. Is it the meridian system that they've been using in acupuncture for thousands of years? Is it this, that these particular points that are used, that have been used in acupuncture for thousands of years, we now have modern equipment like a galvanometer that can measure the electrical resistance of these points. And these points have lower electrical resistance than other places on the body. So they are significant. The original version of tapping from a psychologist named Dr. Roger Callahan called Thought Field Therapy, he would diagnose what was going on for the client and then figure out two or three points and say, okay, for this, let's tap here and then tap here, and then come up with different algorithms for different issues. And then one of his first students was a gentleman named Gary Craig, who had his degree in engineering from Stanford. And thinking like an engineer, he's going, okay, rather than taking a lot of time to figure out which points to tap in which sequence, there's only 8 points that we're tapping. Why don't we just tap them in a row, top to bottom? And it doesn't take any longer, and we save time. And if we tap a point that isn't necessary, no problem. But we may get benefit from one of the other points that we might have not used before. So it just simplified the process, and that's the process that we know as emotional freedom technique.
And I suppose that just repeating the same pattern, just follow a set pattern, reduces the amount of thinking we have to do. And if we have to think about it, that in itself creates stress.
That's one of the great things about tapping in terms of stress relief technique, because people will say, meditation is great. All right, but if you're in a stressful situation, I challenge you to go and start meditating and calm yourself and stop thinking about something. Some people can, if they've been practicing for a long time, but this, as I said before, you don't even have to come up with the words. If you're already in a stressed situation, if you know the pattern, and you can even just tap one point. There have been times where I'm in a stressful situation and I'll just tap one point and that'll calm me down. So it doesn't even have to be, okay, 5 to 10 times here, 5 to 10 times here, it's a very forgiving process. And as you noted, George, about the precision, it's not acupuncture. So we're not using this little tiny needle. We're using our fingertips, and it's percussive. So we are stimulating a much larger area. So if we're pretty close, we're going to be stimulating that that acupuncture point.
And let me see if I can try to understand some of the science here. Our electricity flows through our body. We're batteries, and you know, and anybody who saw The Matrix knows that. but we do have electricity. That's how the messages get sent through our nervous system. So when we're touching these points, are you saying that that's an electrical junction box or weak spot in the wire? Or
excellent question. There is a process called piezoelectricity. When we tap these points, it creates pressure that creates this electrical response that sends an electrical signal to the brain. So it's called piezoelectricity. And that sends a calming message to the amygdala.
And now as you're tapping the face, it also dawned on me that that's something that mothers do with a crying baby. They'll touch and maybe tap, but they're touching the baby to calm the baby. They're touching the baby on the face. They're not touching them on their arms so much, but it's the face where they touch.
Yeah. And this process, we look at it because so many people don't know about it. It's like, oh, some new pseudoscience thing. It's like, no, we're just figuring out how to use the system that we've had all along, because you will see people, oh my goodness. There are all kinds of things that we do where we are stimulating acupuncture points because we instinctively know, you know, people will wring their hands and they're actually putting pressure on acupuncture points. So it's not that we've suddenly come up with something new. We've just found a way of using how the body's natural system works.
So it's as if we're providing feedback to our body. So we could sit here and just, you know, not move and say, well, George, calm down. You don't have to get so mad about that. Just calm down. That, which doesn't seem to work for me when I do that. I just rant more. But by going through this physical act of tapping in these places, it's sending feedback to our brain is picking up some messages that, and it's a regular pattern. It's not erratic. And I suspect that our system, our body likes rhythm.
Yes. Yeah. The music industry would prove that our body likes rhythm. So when the amygdala goes into fight or flight, that's called the sympathetic nervous system. Our body is responding to a threat. Then we have what's called the parasympathetic nervous system, where the mind says, all right, it's all clear. You can all go back to your houses. There's nothing more to see. Everybody calm down. So this tapping is expediting the parasympathetic nervous system. So yeah, if we're just sitting there telling ourselves, trying to work ourselves, to get our mind to work ourselves out of what our mind has already worked ourselves into, it's challenging. But this sends that message to the brain going, hey, everybody calm down, calm down. And that then gives us the chance. So when we go into fight or flight, our prefrontal cortex basically goes offline. That's where all our sort of most modern part of our brain, where our rational, creative, clever thinking is, goes bye-bye. So this calms us down to the place where we come back into our prefrontal cortex and we can be more rational and go, oh, here's a better choice to make. Here's what I really want. Here's my intended message. Here's my intended action. This is where I want to go. This is what I want to do.
Mm. And so what I'm hearing that is when we're stressed, it's extremely difficult to think ourselves out of stress. We our body needs some reassurance that everything's okay before it lets the brain back in charge.
Yeah. Yeah. It starts going. It's like trying to stop a locomotive. You know, it's like standing there watching a train is moving. You're going, stop. No, stop. Like, yeah. And you try to grab it and it takes you with it. But this puts the brakes on.
Hmm. Let's repeat again that pattern for those who perhaps didn't catch it the first time. Just run through those steps and. It you said 5 to 10 times, and I suppose if we are counting, it's not working. We're doing it wrong.
you can't. It's you really can't do it wrong. If you're tapping these points, your body's gonna be going, oh, that's a calming signal. So there's no really wrong way to do it. There are ways that are more beneficial. So in fact, this time as we go through it, I'll do it the way I do it in my videos, where it's a little more freeform. So I always show people the basic version where you say this stress, because then it's simple. If I do it my way and I say, now do it, then folks will say, oh, but you have to come up with these different words and it's really complicated. It's like, no, it's not complicated at all. There's just other things you can do. So we'll do this on message, as it were. So for everyone watching this, you have an intended message you want to put out there, and you may not be putting it out as effectively or as successfully as you'd like to. So what stops us?
So we're touching the karate chop, yeah, part of the hand.
Yeah. Even though I sometimes stop myself, And I'll invite folks to repeat that. I choose to love and accept myself.
I choose to love and accept myself.
Even though I sometimes stop myself.
Even when I sometimes stop myself.
I choose to love and honor myself.
I choose to honor myself.
Even though I sometimes stop myself.
Even though I sometimes stop myself.
Because I have an intended message.
Because I have an intended message.
But sometimes I keep it to myself.
But sometimes I keep it to myself.
Because I'm afraid of saying something.
Because I'm afraid of saying something.
I'm afraid of putting myself out there.
I'm afraid of putting myself out there.
And even though I sometimes stop myself.
And even though I sometimes stop myself.
I choose to deeply and completely.
I choose to.
Deeply and completely.
Deeply and completely.
Love, honor, and accept myself.
Love, honor, and accept myself.
So at the eyebrow point, I sometimes stop myself.
I sometimes stop myself.
Side of the eye. I stop myself from taking action.
I stop myself from taking action.
Under the eye. Because I have some fear.
Because I have some fear.
Under the nose. I'm afraid people might judge me.
I'm afraid people might judge me.
Under the mouth. I'm afraid people might criticize me.
I'm afraid people might criticize me.
With collarbones meet. I'm afraid of what they'll say.
I'm afraid of what they'll say.
Yeah, I'm afraid of what they'll think.
I'm afraid of what they'll think.
Top of the head. I'm afraid they won't like my intended message.
I'm afraid they won't like my intended message.
So I better keep it to myself.
So I better keep it to myself.
But that doesn't feel good.
But that doesn't feel good.
I have something to say.
I have something to say.
I have a difference to make.
I have a difference to make.
So I choose to clear this fear.
So I choose to clear this fear.
Clearing it from every fiber of my being.
Clearing it from every fiber of my being.
So that I feel more confident.
So that I feel more confident.
So that I have greater freedom.
So that I have greater freedom.
To know what I want to say.
To know what I want to say.
To know what my intended message is.
To know what my intended message is.
And to get it out there.
And to get it out there.
And I can handle it.
And I can handle it.
I choose to have more confidence in myself.
I choose to have more confidence in myself.
So I choose to feel more peace.
So I choose to feel more peace.
I set myself free to move forward.
I set myself free to move forward.
In body, mind, and spirit.
In body, mind, and spirit.
Take a deep breath. And just allow yourself to notice what that feels like. And again, notice the peeling of the layers of the onion. And so you might have different things that might have come up. It's like, oh, suddenly I remembered this time when I was in the fifth grade and had to give an oral report and I messed up on a word and all the kids laughed at me. And I decided I'm never going to put myself out there like that again. Not consciously aware of it, but we can look back and go, oh yeah, there are all kinds of opportunities that I've had that I turned down because it felt uncomfortable. We clear those things away and then we have the freedom to be out there making the difference that we can make.
And I can attest that I certainly feel calmer right now, having gone through that. So definitely positive there. Brad, is this an exercise? How often should people perform this? Every time they get angry?
I recommend some tapping every day because to me, it's energy hygiene. We have physical hygiene, like brushing our teeth and taking a shower. Most people do that on a daily basis. Very rarely do we wait 3 weeks until people are holding their nose around us and go, oh, that's right, I haven't taken a shower in 3 weeks. I should probably do that. But stress is always building up, especially in this modern age where we're all walking around with a device that is constantly saying, how are you feeling? Are you stressed? Here's something to be stressed about. And we just take that for granted. But that stuff builds up just like the gunk on our teeth. So we don't want to be waiting until it's obvious. So I recommend some tapping on a daily basis. You know, it doesn't have to be, oh, I've got this problem bothering me. I can just be tapping, saying affirmations. I choose to feel really good today. I choose to feel really good today. You can say prayers, lyrics to songs, or just tap without saying anything. And then just like with brushing your teeth or taking a shower, do the regular maintenance, and then as needed. So, you know, if you've been out exercising at the gym and you're all sweaty, you don't go, well, I already took a shower this morning, so I'm not going to take a shower. You know? I brushed my teeth this morning, so even though I just had some chocolate cake, I'm not going to brush my teeth. Daily routine and as necessary.
And so I can see this as an exercise before an important meeting, before delivering a big presentation, before a job interview, before a Zoom call.
Yeah, absolutely. And even during, you can be tapped. There are points on the hand that we can also tap. There are times that I'll be in situations where I'm tapping hand points, like, okay, if somebody's being really difficult and I'm like, I'm going to keep my cool. I don't want to exacerbate the situation. So I just want to stay in the best place. You know, anytime that we want to be at our best. And like I said, there's videotape of like Olympic athletes and professional athletes before a tournament, and they're tapping in order to clear out anything that might stop them from performing at their best.
Mm. Brad, if people want to learn more about your programs and how you might help them, where can they find you?
Thanks, George. The easiest place is at tapwithbrad.com, and also on different social medias at Tap with Brad. And as you mentioned, I've got over 1,000 videos on YouTube going through all kinds of different issues. And then I also work with folks privately, and I have a membership program called Advance, where we have weekly live tappings. And that's a really powerful to do the live tapping with a group of people on stuff that's coming up, and invite folks to take a look at that.
And you can find the links in the description below. Brad, in wrapping up, if you could offer one, two, or three pieces of advice to people who experience stress on a regular basis, what approach might they take and to apply what you're teaching here?
Yeah, the first thing is, now that you've watched this and you've already seen how to do this, I would say, just give yourself permission to do it, even if it looks strange. You don't have to do it in public. I've been doing that more. I've recently been doing videos out in public. Just did one at the San Francisco Zoo, and there's a woman standing next to me talking to her kid. I'm just here tapping away. But you can go into the bathroom and tap privately, but just give yourself permission to use this. And then go and take a look at what I have on YouTube, because then you can just follow along easily and it'll take you through the process that'll help you relax that. And then find ways to make it a regular practice, because as we calm down on a more regular basis, we handle stress in better ways, so that we get into situations. And even though you may not be tapping in that moment, you're not already primed. Or, you know, when we have all that stress built up, we're sort of primed for it. We'll blow up in situations where it's totally out of proportion because that stuff has been building. So developing a practice where you are in a much more calm state, and life gets a lot better that way. So please and thank you.
Positive advice. My guest today is Brad Yates, reminding you that self-sabotage is misguided self-love.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.